Okay, good evening. And first, of course, I want to thank Martin and his team for inviting me, for giving this session. Of course, I'm very honored with this. Title of my presentation is Sticky Flaws Due to Employer or Employee Preferences. Actually, this presentation covers two studies of mine. One focused on employer preferences underlying sticky flaws, and one on employee preferences underlying this phenomenon, which of course I will define in the first slide of this presentation. Both studies are co-authored by Anne-Sophie de Pauw from Ghent University and Nick de Schacht from KU Leuven. So as you might guess, this presentation is about sticky flaws. And sticky flaws can be described as the pattern that women are, compared to men, less likely to start to climb the job ladder. So these sticky flaws are related to gender differentials at the bottom of the wage distribution. And this phenomenon, this concept of sticky flaws, this complements a phenomenon that you might know, the glass ceiling. And the glass ceiling is defined as the pattern that women are, compared to men, less likely to reach the top of the job ladder. And thereby, this phenomenon is related to gender differentials at the top of the wage distribution. Now, building on seminal work by Alison Booth and her co-authors in European Economic Review, during the past decades, economists have measured these sticky flaws in the labor market, and indeed they found evidence for this phenomenon in countries such as Australia, Belgium, Italy, Thailand, and the United States. Now, the title of this presentation is also our global research question. So the global research question is, do these sticky flaws are due to employer preferences and or due to employee preferences? And we believe that this question is an important one, as in order to tackle these sticky flaws, to design adequate policy actions, it's important to determine the nature of these sticky flaws. And based on the mentioned literature, it's still unclear whether these sticky flaws result from gender differences in human capital, gender differences in employee preferences, so differences in preferences and behavior at the employee side, or whether they result from employer preferences, so discrimination. And this, or these two studies, are the first to investigate these employee and employer preferences underlying sticky flaws in the labor market. And in both studies, we keep the first channel, human capital, constant. The mentioned literature yield us two research hypotheses. The first one is related to employer preferences. So we had the a priori expectancy that employers would discriminate more against women when they apply for jobs which would imply a promotion. So this would be consistent with the idea of sticky flaws. Second research hypothesis was then related to employee preferences underlying sticky flaws. This idea is that women might have a less pronounced preference for jobs implying promotion. Also, this could result in the sticky flaws that are observed in reality in the labor market. An alternative title for this presentation could have been Sticky Flaws in the Field and in the Lab, as to test these to research hypotheses, we conducted both field experiments and a lab experiment. The field experiment aimed to test our first research hypothesis, and this is the kind of research Martin referred to. So we sent out fictitious CVs to real job applications, vacancies with jobs that signaled other promotion characteristics, and then we monitored the subsequent callback, and we identified heterogeneity in employer preferences for males and females by these promotion characteristics. The lab experiment was aimed to test our second research hypothesis. In this lab experiment, we had male and female testers in our lab. They got a job offer, had to decide whether or not they would go to a job interview, and as they got different jobs with respect to promotion characteristics, again, we were able to test our second research hypothesis, so to identify gender differences in employee preferences for promotion characteristics. So first the field experimental study, and then the lab experimental study. So with respect to the field experiment, this is a correspondence test. So within this kind of experiment, pairs of fictitious job applications are sent to real vacancies. These two candidates differ only by details and by layout and by one real discrimination ground, in this case gender, and then by monitoring the subsequent callback we can identify unequal treatment based on this ground for discrimination. This is the so-called golden standard to identify unequal treatment in the labor market, as it allows to disentangle employer discrimination from all supply-side determinants of labor market outcomes. Or in other words, selection on an observable characteristics of the fictitious candidates is not an issue, as all the information the employer has to build his decision on is under control of the researcher. It will become clear when I present our particular experiment. With respect to this method, the study by Bertrand and Mulla-Naitan in American Economic Review is a seminal study, but also recently correspondence tests by Kraft and Erickson and co-authors were published very well. So what did we do? We selected during 5 months vacancies from the database of the Public Employment Service of Flanders in Belgium. These were vacancies targeting bachelors in business administration and masters in business economics. And to these vacancies, we sent two fictitious job applications. These two applications were applications from candidates that only differed in details and by layout. We call these two versions the type A and the type B versions. And these were sent pairwise to our vacancies. And then for each vacancy, we assigned a typically male-sounding name, I hope this is a typically male-sounding name, to one of both applications, and to the other one, we assigned a typically female-sounding name. And then for the other vacancy, for the next vacancy, we did it the other way around. So here, the male to the type A, the female to the type B. For the next vacancy, the other way around, female name to the type A applicant, and the male-sounding name to the type B applicant. And then we monitored callback, or positive callback. We defined positive callback in strict sense as getting an invitation for a job interview concerning the announced job. This will be the benchmark definition throughout this presentation. And we define positive callback in broad sense as getting any positive reaction. This can be, again, an invitation to a job interview, but it can also be a question to provide more information or the proposal of an alternative position. And then to test our research hypothesis, we merged all vacancies to two dimensions of promotion. First, we merged all vacancies with one occupation in the ISCO classification system. This classification system goes at the one-digit level from the level of managers to the level of elementary occupation. So each vacancy, based on the information in this vacancy, was matched with one occupation. And we then defined the promotion as a transition from a lower ICO level to a higher ICO level. So we compared the fictitious job of the candidate mentioned in his or her CV with the ICO level of the vacancy for which he or she applied. So that's the first dimension of promotion, the occupational level dimension. On the other hand, we have the job authority promotion dimension. So based on the information in the vacancies, we matched each vacancy with one out of three levels of job authority. First level, no authority. Second level, supervision authority. And third level, supervision and supervision authority and influence on wages or promotion opportunities of other workers. And as the current job, current fictitious job of our candidate was a job with no authority at all, a transition to a job with supervision authority or to supervision and influence on wage impact is defined as a promotion following the job authority promotion dimension. Results. So in this table, I present positive callback rates in a strict sense, so probability of getting invited to a job interview by gender. So we see that overall, the males in our experiment got in 11% of their applications an invitation to a job interview, while their female counterparts got in only 10% of their applications an invitation. The ratio of these positive callback rates is 1.11, saying that the male candidates got about 11% more invitations to a job interview. However, this callback ratio is not different from 1. It's not statistically significantly different from 1. So we cannot reject that overall the males and females in our field experiments were treated equally. But then to test our research hypothesis, we broke down our sample by the two dimensions of promotion mentioned in the previous slide. And then with respect to the breakdown by occupational level, we see that when our candidates applied for a job at a higher level, so a job that would imply a promotion in occupational level, the male candidates, or the callback ratio, is 1.50. So this means that for these promotion jobs, promotion in a sense of occupational level, the male candidates got about 50% more invitations to a job interview. So this is really a strong effect, maybe somewhat too strong to sell it, but we did it. On the other hand, breakdown by the job authority promotion dimension, for this breakdown, we did not find any evidence for unequal treatment, so for none of both of the samples by this promotion dimension, there was an equal treatment. Same story when looking at the results following our alternative dimension of promotions, our alternative definition of what positive callback is. So the broad sense definition, getting any positive reaction. Here again, when our candidates applied for a position at a higher occupational level, the male candidates got about 23% more reactions, positive reactions in broad sense. Now, of course, it's possible that these two promotion dimensions correlate with each other or with other vacancy characteristics. So, therefore, we conducted a regression analysis in which we interact female gender of the candidates with various sets of vacancy characteristics. In this slide, I present the most extensive model. And in this model, we interacted the female gender of the candidate with the two promotion dimensions, being the first application sent within the pair, the application type used, the education level, contract characteristics, the gender of the recruiter, a proxy of the size of the firm, proportion of females in the occupation, and the average wage in the occupation. And in addition, we also controlled for 57 sector domains interacted with female gender of the candidate. All these variables were also included as such to the regression, so also included without an interaction. The story told by these regression analysis is essentially the same as the one based on the tables in the former slides. We find that, on the other hand, indeed, unequal treatment by gender is heterogeneous by the occupational level promotion dimension, but we do not find any heterogeneity in gender discrimination by the job authority promotion dimension. So this is the conclusion of this first study. Let's jump down to the lab experiment we conducted. So remember, this lab experiment aimed at testing our second research hypothesis, so the hypothesis of employee preferences underlying sticky flaws in the labor market. So the idea that women might be less focused on making promotion, lower focus on promotion characteristics of jobs. What did we do? We invited 622 test persons to our lab. They had to take up the role as an employee with 5 years of work experience in a position with no job authority at the ISCO level 4. Now these test persons got one job offer, but the job offer they got differed by the two dimensions of promotion mentioned when presenting our field experiment. So they differed in job authority and in occupational level. So 1/4 of the testers got a job at the same occupational level as their current job and with no job authority. So same level with respect to job authority. A 2/4 of the testers got a job at the same occupational level, but with supervising and sanctioning authority. A 1/3 of the testers got a job at a higher ICO level, but without job authority. And a last 1/4 got a job implying a promotion in both promotion dimensions. And then these testers were asked to indicate the probability with which they would accept an invitation for a job interview. Some descriptive, so there were no important differences in social background by gender, and more important, the testers understood whether the job they got was a promotion in terms of authority and a promotion in terms of occupational letters. So they had a clear idea about our manipulation, or they knew whether they got a job implying a promotion or not. That was, of course, quite important. Then some descriptive results. So here I present the likeliness with which the candidates would accept an invitation for a job interview. I do this by gender, and this likeliness was scored on a 7-point Likert scale, so going from 1 being very unlikely to 7 very likely. And we see that for the first job, a job without any promotion characteristics or with implying no promotion, that the females were somewhat more likely to accept an invitation for this job. On the other hand, for job 4, the job implying a promotion in both dimensions, the opposite was true. Males were somewhat more likely to accept an invitation for a job interview for this job. So this seemed to indeed confirm our second research hypothesis. Of course. Yes. Yes. So there are two relevant things to say. First, we used last year's students as testers, just to avoid this problem to some extent. On the other hand, I will come back to perceived discrimination as something that may underlie this point. So I come back to this, but you can of course again ask a question after this presentation. So in this table, the main results, I present or I calculate the preference that our testers had for jobs with more promotion characteristics over jobs with less promotion characteristics. For instance, job 2 with job authority over job 1 with no job authority. And I do this by gender. And more concretely, how is, for instance, this number calculated? So to calculate the preference for job 2 over job 1, we compare these Likert scales concerning the likeliness of interview acceptance. So for instance, to compare job 2 and job 1 for males, we reduce this 5.38 with this 4.69, and we get this 0.69. And by doing this, we get indeed that the male candidates had a preference for the jobs with more promotion characteristics. So these are positive numbers. While for the female candidates, this was less clear. And then we tested our second research hypothesis by calculating the gender differences in these statistics. So a positive sign means that there is a more outspoken preference among the males for these jobs with more promotion characteristics over these jobs with less promotion characteristics. And then with respect to the testers' preference over job for job 2 over job 1, for job 3 over job 1, and for job 4 over job 3, we get indeed a positive sign, so a more outspoken preference among males, but these differences are not statistically significantly different from 0. So you cannot reject that there was an equal preference among males and females for instance, this job over this job. On the other hand, when comparing the gender difference in preference for job 4 over job 1 and job 4 over job 2, we get indeed significant evidence for an important gender difference in the tester's preference for the first job over the second job. And this, of course, is in line with our second research hypothesis, saying that women have a less pronounced preference for jobs implying promotion. Moreover, as we find that there is a more outspoken preference among males for job 4 over job 2, but not for job 4 over job 3, we see again that also here the occupational level promotion dimension is more important than the job authority promotion dimension. Now, to test this, we collapsed this table, and here we look at the gender difference in, on the one hand, the preference for jobs implying promotion in occupational level over jobs implying no promotion in this dimension, and on the other hand, the gender difference in the preference for jobs implying a promotion in job authority over jobs implying no promotion in this dimension. And again, we find that there is a gender difference in the preference for jobs implying a promotion in occupational level, but we cannot reject that the preference for jobs implying a promotion in job authority is equal by gender. Now, related to this question, we also we wanted to know what could be driving the gender difference in being focused on promotion jobs. And in a post-experimental survey, so conducted immediately after the experiment, we surveyed our testers on four validated scales. Validated scale on home versus work importance, validated scale on perceived gender discrimination, on risk-taking behavior, and on self-esteem. And we found that indeed there was a gender difference in the answers the testers gave for two scales. On the one hand, we found that there was a gender difference in perceived gender discrimination. So women feared that discrimination, or they feared more than men, that gender discrimination could be a struggle in the labor market, a struggle in getting higher positions, and of course this could explain their lower promotion aspirations related to the question. On the other hand, but not surprisingly, women turned out to be more risk-averse than males. And as accepting a higher position can be seen as taking a risk, this can also explain our results. Now, to test this formally, we conducted a mediation analysis in which we split up the total effect of the gender interaction with promotion characteristics of a job on job interview invitation acceptance. We split this up in a direct effect and an indirect mediation effect, in this case through perceived gender discrimination. And we found indeed that there is an important mediation effect of perceived gender discrimination. So indeed we found ground for perceived gender discrimination as driving the less pronounced preference for jobs implying a promotion among females. With respect to risk-taking behavior, we only found a moderate mediation effect. Last slide to conclude. So on the one hand, in the first study, we send out fictitious job applications to test whether employers discriminate more when women or when candidates apply for jobs implying promotion. And we found that women get indeed less callback when they apply for jobs at a higher ICO level, while overall we did not find gender discrimination. Second study, we conducted a vignette study, a lab experiment, to test whether women have a less pronounced preference for jobs implying a promotion than men. And indeed, we confirmed that there was a less pronounced preference among our female testers for jobs implying a promotion in occupational level. And this could be further explained by gender differentials in perceived gender discrimination and risk-taking behavior. So, to conclude, we found evidence both for mechanisms at the employer side and for mechanisms at the employee side underlying these sticky flows. So, for those who want to read more about these results and the design, these are the first study about employer preferences published in Industrial and Labor Relations Review, and the second one is resubmitted after a revise. Okay, that was my talk. Thank you very much.